Okay, so what does this mean? So this can be regarded as operation on the component fields. This phi has turned to this, namely x psi psi bar s has turned to this. So you can consider this as variation of x is this, variation of psi is this, and variation of psi bar is, I forgot epsilon there. Yeah, I forgot epsilon. Sorry. Epsilon here, epsilon here. Epsilon bar here. So this, well, let's take out epsilon. Epsilon ix dot minus s and epsilon bar minus ix dot minus s. And then this is I epsilon bar psi dot plus I epsilon psi bar dot. Okay. So that's the effect of this operation on those component fields. And please look at these parts and compare with this. And it looks almost the same form, except that this f is now here a function of x that enters into the Lagrangian. Okay, anyway, so this is, we have just observed in this space with bosonic and Fermi coordinate, and if you consider this action of odd vector fields, then these are the variation corresponding, the variation on the component fields. Okay. So next thing is I'm going to do is how to construct this Lagrangian I have just erased using this superfield. So for this, it is convenient to introduce other set of differential operators other than those, other vector field. Differential black operator or vector fields, which looks almost the same, but with the difference in the sign in here. So they are different. And most important property of this, they also satisfy similar algebra. But this is not so important. Most important property is that D and Q's commute, namely D, Q equal D, Q bar equals D bar, Q equals D bar, Q bar, anti-commute. So in particular, if you consider variation of some superfield and let D operate on it, then by the commutativity you have just this. And similarly, if you consider D bar of delta phi, then it is D bar of phi. Now using this we can construct Lagrangian. So S, let's just consider this Lagrangian. And 1/2 d phi and d bar phi minus h of phi. Let's consider this. Now, this is invariant under delta. Delta, that delta, or this action on the fields by this vector field. And this can be shown very easily, just so delta acts on the fields here, here, here. So let's just do it one by one. That's the variation. And now use this property here. So this is delta of d of phi, and this is delta of d bar of phi. So this is 1/2 delta of d bar phi, so d phi, d bar phi. And this is, of course, minus delta of h phi, because this is a first order differential operator. So I continue. This is d t d theta d theta bar delta. Delta of something. It happened to be the original thing. What's important here is that this is a total derivative. So it has this kind of component, or this, or this, or this. Okay. But integral of these things is zero because of this. This is zero by, say, Stokes' theorem, namely, dt of ddt of something is zero as long as you assume that everything ties up at infinity, or if as long as you say put periodic boundary condition. Or d theta, dd theta is zero. And this is, maybe some of you may not know, but integral is defined in this way. So this is the definition of the integral, and if you do this, there's no theta. So it's at most a constant, so using this property, it is zero. So anyway, this is zero. So this is, this action is invariant. Yes? Delta L, L is?
L being half d phi, d bar phi minus h phi.
Okay.
Right, so what I'm saying is that the second part of this pattern.
Uh-huh. Oh, which part?
Second.
From here to here?
Yeah.
Well, it's No. Here we have used crucial fact that this is equal to this. Yes. Uh-huh. Well, delta of S is L of phi plus delta phi minus L of phi, and take the first order. So delta must enter two phi, to each phi. So this is honest thing. Then here is non-trivial step. This is equal to this by the commutativity. If we had, say, Q here, it fails. Okay, so this is, we have just seen that this is invariant. But what it is, what is it? As I say, as a function, as an expression for, with respect to the component fields. So let's try to write down. This is a bit lengthy, but it's straightforward to compute this. I erased something we need to use, so let me just write down the result. It's just straightforward. What is this first term? D phi d bar phi. It is the product of d phi and d bar phi. And then do the integral. And that takes out only the theta bar theta or minus theta theta bar part. So what we need to do is just to read the coefficient of theta bar theta. And just do this product. So from this term it will combine with this, so it will be I psi bar dot. I switch the position, that eliminates minus. And for here, it is with this, plus f squared. And this is with this, so minus I psi dot psi bar. And this is with this, and this is plus x dot squared. And for the other things, d theta bar h of phi, you want to expand phi with respect to this this theta dependent terms, and this is, so expansion is like this. And that this ends again with the second order, because at most we can have second power of theta and theta bar, and then read the coefficient of theta and theta bar. So here is one place, and the square of this is another place. You can tell about that, huh? So, okay, anyway, so this, the result is minus. So you just collect the whole thing. S is dt, and collect this part, 1 half x dot squared plus I, let's rewrite in a, just take the transpose, and then 1 half f squared. That's from the this part, and from this part you get plus, okay, let's just continue, plus h prime of x f minus, okay. And please notice that this f enters only there, and f has no kinetic term. X and psi both have kinetic terms, but F doesn't have. So that means this has no dynamics. Non-dynamical. Okay. So such a field is called auxiliary field. And in this case, it's very easy to handle. This is quadratic, so you can eliminate it. Suppose you consider, say, path integral, then this quadratic function, e to the quadratic function can easily be integrated out. It just gives us some numerical factor by this Gaussian integral. So, anyway, but to do this, we need to make it a complete square. So we just complete the square, f plus this square minus this. Then you can just forget about it. Okay. So. So let's just continue here. So eliminate F by, say, doing this, or by equation of motion for this, which gives us F equal to minus this. Then what you get is S is the action we studied before, exactly the same one. Okay. You have this potential term, 1 half h prime squared, and you have this Yukawa type term. And also, this variation for the remaining component field is just this. And now F is replaced by its answer here, plus H W. Okay. And this is exactly the supersymmetry we have considered. So that's how this kind of system, that's one way you can obtain such supersymmetric system. Okay. Question. Okay. I explain now. Next, this example two we have considered, the nonlinear sigma model. That's also, in that case, we remember that this expression is very long, it's very complicated, but using this formalism, actually that can be simplified. And also checking supersymmetry using this component field is very complicated, and you easily make mistakes if you have, you know this if you have tried. But in this formalism, it's straightforward or manifest. You don't have to check anything because this action is given by, again, in a similar way, 1/2 Gij. So this is nonlinear sigma model on the target space or on Riemannian manifolds. G, and G is the metric, and I use this superfield, the set of superfields, this is the action, the same as before. If you write this in terms of components, you will recover the action. I will just do it quickly, but what's important here is this, is that this is manifestly invariant under phi I to phi I plus delta phi I, where delta is that differential operator or vector of the field. Okay. This is, you don't, zero line proof of this supersymmetry of this expression. But you may want to write it in terms of the component fields, and that is a bit long, but let me just quickly show the essential part. Okay, Gij phi d phi I d bar I j. And we want to take first divide by 2 and then take the coefficient of this. So we are only interested in the part that's proportional to theta bar theta. And let's just consider the case where this is, okay, let's x, and then I, j, comma, k, and this theta-dependent part, and then d phi I, d bar, and 1/2 ijkl of x, and theta dependent part squared, but this won't contribute, theta l, then take this part. And from here you know this is the part that's not depending, the part that doesn't depend on this. So it's essentially using this. So you just take out this part and then put suitable indices. So this will be theta bar theta. and x dot I, x dot j plus I theta I theta bar dot I. And here you want to take from this times theta bar dependent part, this times theta dependent part, and this times theta theta bar independent part. And from here you get, you want only the theta theta bar independent part. So you just do this. And then the answer is right, G, I'm just again copying this. You have Fi, just change the place of name of indices in a suitable way. You find this. And also from the second term, you also have minus Ix dot I. Last line, you only have this piece. Okay. Looks complicated, but this is not so bad. This is not so bad. This is actually twice G I L gamma L K J. Yes, this is a Christoffel symbol, or the expression for the Levi-Civita connection. And this looks also complicated, but you can actually rewrite it in a cleaner form. This fermion bilinear term, you want to collect the fermion psi bar term, and this takes the simple form dt psi I minus dt psi bar j psi I, where dt is dt psi I is psi bar I is plus x k gamma k I j I j. If you just, it's quicker to start with this and show that it's the same thing as that. And also you see that F has no kinetic term, so again this is a auxiliary field. And you may want to complete the square, and then you can do this, and the result is this is the part that's already there. And after completing the square, you have I, J, gamma, I, M, K, M. And the square part is this. Again, you can forget about it. And this is, oh, not yet, but this is almost the form you need. And you can show that this is equal to plus I J K L and psi I psi bar J. Again, it's better to start with this and compute it and show that it's the same thing as this. Maybe I made a sign mistake in the previous time. This is actually plus. Okay, so this is the Lagrangian we have obtained. And the supersymmetry transformation as component fields is the same as before. Just put index here. But after eliminating this auxiliary field, F is replaced by the answer to this equal to zero. And this will put this gamma ijk dependent psi psi bar term here. So this is the way to obtain supersymmetric Lagrangian. I have shown you in this case of supersymmetric quantum mechanics, but this method also works, extends to, say, 2,2 supersymmetry in 1+1 dimensions. And that's the most important part. Okay, maybe it's a good point to break, so maybe let's take 5 minutes break.
Yes, I think you don't have to because maybe this is my here. So that means that the answer is here, getting those
You can make it one way.
actions which are invariant in what?
Here I'm just giving a recipe.
Right.
But this recipe alone for the next is actually crucial. Control.
Okay, so next thing is this 2,2 superfield. In 1 plus 1 dimension. Oh, sorry, I shouldn't have wrote this thing. Anyway, that's fine. Okay, so we have studied 1 plus 1 dimensional system, and it depends on time and space coordinate, or x0 is this, or x1 is this, or maybe let's just combine into this light cone coordinate. So these are bosonic coordinates, and we want to extend it by adding four fermionic coordinates. So bar is simply a complex conjugate. Okay. And we are superfield. Is, as before, it's a function of, say, of x plus, x minus, theta plus bar, theta bar minus bar. And again, we want to expand it with respect to thetas. And in the previous case, we had only two thetas, so we had only four components. But now we have more thetas, so let's try some part that doesn't depend on theta. Call it this way. And the part that depends on theta, linear in theta. Already linear terms have four components. And also, you have terms quadratic integer, say this, and more terms, and those with that are cubic integer. And finally, quadratic integer. Quadratic integer. And that's where it ends. Okay, so how many terms? You have one term from here and four linear terms, and you have 4 choose 2, which is 6 terms, and 6 terms, and oh sorry, 4 terms, sorry, this is 4 terms, and then 1 term. Okay, so in total you have 16 terms. Okay, so a superfield is the same thing as a collection of 16 functions of x plus minus. So f plus minus, f plus 4. So there are 16 of them. And as before, I usually assume definite statistics for F. So if F is bosonic, the zeroth order term will be bosonic. The coefficient component that appears in the linear term will be fermionic, and so on. So as before, we consider odd vector fields. Again, not again. In this time, we have 4 vector fields: Q plus minus, you that this is, I sometimes write it, this is this is time derivative and this is sigma derivative, and they obey anti-commutation relation. So this important part, and also it also satisfies this anti-commutation relation. So this again looks like this 2,2 supersymmetry algebra. And I define this variation delta of F to be, as before, epsilon plus q minus f minus epsilon minus. So this will be our supersymmetry transformation, but at this moment it's just the action of a vector field on the superfield, on the function on the superspace. And I don't write down this action on the component field, it's too complicated, but I will do so for some special kind of superfield that I will now introduce. So, for this, let me give you another set of differential operators, just as before. And this is used, actually, to define this special kind of superfields. And this is, as before, it differs with Q only by the sign here. And then they satisfy the similar equation, a similar commutation relation. But what's most important is the fact, this is important, is zero. Well, maybe this squared is d bar squared is zero. This is important later, but more important is the fact that this, they commute with Qs. The anti-commutative is Q. So, as before, you if you take d alpha of delta f, it is again this, and also d alpha bar of f is delta of d alpha bar f. So you can actually use this D and D bar operator in constructing the Lagrangian. But in this case, in this 2,2 superspace case, you have something more, there's some role this plays, and this is very important. It is to define a special kind of superfields. So as we have seen, the arbitrarily superfield has 16 components, and it is a bit too long. But actually, you can define special kind of superfields that has fewer components, that has actually 4 components. So, special superfield. And these are classified into two. One is chiral superfields. And the other is twisted chiral superfields. Actually, last time I have explained what chiral field and twisted chiral fields are, and these are actually related to this. Okay, so chiral superfield. Phi is a super field obeying this D bar plus phi is 0 and D bar minus phi is 0. And right. And of course, if phi 1, phi 2 are both chiral, then the product is also chiral. Just like this chiral ring we have considered before, but that's actually related. Okay, and so this constrains the possible form. Actually, this will give some conditions on 16 component fields.
Sorry, what is my
product? Is it
component by component?
Yeah, naive product. If you have, say, F0 plus theta plus F plus, say, suppose you have only this. It's not chiral super field, but suppose you have only this. Then take the product, G0 plus theta bar minus G minus bar. Then it's just ordinary product. Is it okay?
Well, it is. Except that I don't understand what structure did you get on that space.
No, this is ordinary product of functions. This is product of functions you have with.
Right, and then
yes.
When you pick components, there's a component yes. By component, you have a.
Right, so this is the first component. The second component is this. And there's no third, fourth, but there's fifth component. Depending on this, and there's also this. This is naive product of functions.
It's just the product of functions with some non-positive generator.
Right.
So you went to the same one. It's just the regular product of functions with some non-positive generator. Beta is what
you call positive. Oh, yes. Right. Okay, what's confusing about this? Oh, okay. Yeah, it's naive product of functions. Yes. Yes. Okay. And so I was about to say what kind of special form it takes, and you can explicitly write down. And the key is to note that if you define this as this minus I times theta plus this, then this will annihilate this. Okay? So if you find expression like this, phi is phi of y plus minus plus theta plus psi plus y plus minus plus theta minus psi minus then this will automatically satisfy this. And this is actually the most general form. So phi can always be written in this way. So essentially it's determined by four component fields. Of course this will be further expanded. It is x plus minus minus I theta plus theta bar plus x minus I theta minus theta bar minus and minus theta plus theta bar plus theta minus theta bar minus. And also do the same thing. It has more terms. Nine component fields, but there's a relation between several component fields. It is determined only by those four fields. One time, one space. Yes, one time. One plus one means one time. Oh, sorry. I should say one space and one time. If you say 3 plus 1, it's three space. Oh, sorry. Oh, 2, 2.
I'm asking the
second one. What I mean by 2, 2.
2, 1 plus 1.
Oh, 1 plus 1 is just dimension, as I said. The number of space coordinate and number of time coordinates. Okay, so there are two things. 2, 2 is the supersymmetry. And 1 plus 1 is the ordinary dimension. And 2, 2 is because we have q plus q plus bar on the comma q minus bar. So this is plus or minus stands for chirality there are two spinner representations. Spin group is U1, and there are two positive or negative charge representations. So these are the two. And we have two real and two real, that's why I say 2, 2. In these dimensions, you can actually have arbitrarily P, Q supercharge. So real, where I is from 1 to P and J is from 1 to Q. You can also have such supersymmetry. But in other dimensions, say 3 plus 1 dimensions, you can't say this way. And this has to do with this classification of supersymmetry algebra in various dimensions. So I will not talk about it today, but in two dimensions, you can specify the amount of pseudo-symmetry by counting how many, say, left-handed and right-handed supercharges are there. Okay. And another thing, so this is one kind of special kind of superfield, chiral superfield. Okay, maybe I should say the relation of this chiral field I said in the previous time. The lowest component of a chiral superfield namely in this case phi of x for this capital phi. So there are many components, but I say the smaller power in theta lower and higher power in theta higher, and lowest one is just this, is this one. This lowest component of a chiral superfield is a chiral field in the sense I described before, namely annihilated or commute, or anti, or commute with q plus bar q minus bar. So it's, in other words, if you take the variation, delta of phi, when you take out only the q plus bar, q minus bar variation part, namely when you take epsilon plus equal to zero and epsilon minus equal to zero, so you are left with q plus bar, q minus bar variation, this will be zero. So commute with this is the same thing as annihilated by this q plus and q minus bar. And that you can show by using this algebra and relation to, I erased q. Maybe I here. So q is essentially, just using this, we are interested in only this. This thing is d bar, and there's an error term. D bar for minus 2i theta plus minus. Yes, d bar plus minus. So when q bar acting on this phi, this part will annihilate if it is a chiral superfield, and this part is a higher will create higher component field. So this lowest component is zero. Variation of the lowest component is zero. Okay. And also conversely, given a chiral field, namely a field annihilated by q plus bar and q minus bar, you can construct a chiral superfield. So this is a little bit tricky how to do this, and I will not do it today, but there's a way to do this. Essentially, so it is to find those other terms, this, and this is actually obtained by operating on Q, on phi, by this Q and Q bar operators. Q plus and Q plus minus operators. Let's see. So the question is whether you have a chiral superfield which has no lowest component, and I think it's zero, so yes, I think it's unique. Yes, I may show you the detail later at some point, but not today. I have some other things to show. But anyway, this I just wanted to state the relation of this chiral superfield and the chiral field I have explained last time. Essentially the same thing. Okay. And another superfield is a twisted chiral superfield. Phi tilde is a superfield obeying the similar equation, but different in one place. There's no bar here, equal to zero. Again, if phi 1 tilde and phi 2 tilde are twisted chiral, then the product is also twisted chiral because these are differential operators. And also, this twisted chiral superfield also have expressions determined by only four functions. Phi tilde can always be written as y tilde. And here you have theta bar minus. Where y tilde is plus or minus is similar to that, but differ in the sign for the minus part. Oh, sorry, no. For the minus part, so minus is as before, but for the plus, for the minus, you have different sign. Okay. So again, the lowest component of a twisted chiral field, superfield, is twisted chiral, namely annihilated by Q plus bar and Q minus without bar. Okay. So using these special kind of superfields, you can construct Lagrangians that you can use to study the dynamics. And this includes those Landau-Ginzburg models and nonlinear signal models with 2.2 supersymmetry. And the action there was a bit long and complicated, but if you use this, you see that this will be expressed very simply. Are there questions so far? Yes. Oh, yes, sorry. Yes, same. Yes. Given twisted chiral, the chiral field, chiral, then you get twisted chiral superfield. Same thing can be said. Are there other questions? Okay, so invariant Lagrangians. So as before, if you have action like this, the fourth theta, namely, by this I mean this integral over all fermionic coordinates, I should say d2x, this is dx0, dx1, or td sigma. And any function of, say, some superfield, phi1 to phi n, and these d alpha, phi1, phi1 to phi n, d bar alpha, and higher powers, these will be supersymmetric. As before, this is invariant. Under this delta, I erased, but this delta. Okay. So that's one kind, but that's actually not the whole kind of term. And this kind of term is called, let me give you a name. This is most naive form, and this is called D-term. Maybe it's sometimes confusing because D-term sometimes means some very special kind of term, but let me just call it D-term. But if you use chiral superfield or twisted chiral superfield, you can construct something else. You can have other kind of invariant action. Suppose phi1 to phi n are chiral superfields. And then W of phi1 to phi n are holomorphic functions. Function on these n fields. Or let's just consider some holomorphic function of n variables and then plug these into here. Then, obviously, this is chiral. namely it's annihilated by P bar plus and minus, because you see that this is IW and then P bar plus minus phi I, this is there. If this is not holomorphic, namely it depends, say, on phi bar, then it won't be satisfied. So this is there only when it is a holomorphic function. Now consider the following action: d squared x d2 theta and w of phi I. By this I mean d2x d theta minus d theta plus, not d theta plus bar and d theta minus bar, and then phi I, and then set theta bar plus and minus to be zero. So this, if you do this, this is a function of x and theta plus and theta minus only, and then take out the part, the quotient of this theta plus times theta minus. Okay. Or simply just take the quotient of this, this theta plus theta minus. That's this. New action. And then this is, again, this is actually supersymmetric, namely invariant under delta. To see this, let me just operate. So delta is simply this differential operator acting on this, because this is a first order. And so this consists of this and this with appropriate parameter. And I remind you that this q plus and minus was this part plus this part. And if I use this, setting theta bars to zero, this is not surviving, and you only have this, but this is simply vanishing by Stokes' theorem. Zero by Stokes' theorem. These of something, anything is this zero. And q bar plus minus was minus. Minus I. And here I use this relation of D bar and Q bar. Okay. And this part will annihilate this, because this is a chiral superfield. So this is gone by d bar plus minus w is zero. And this part will be gone by Stokes' theorem. So it's zero. So by this it is zero. So it is indeed invariant. So what's crucial here was this part. So this was okay, and this is okay for any time, but this, we need this part to vanish for this to be invariant, and that is only when this W is a holomorphic function of a chiral superfield. And this kind of term is called F term. This is called F term. So F term is always associated with some holomorphic function of chiral superfield. And there's an analogous thing for twisted chiral superfield. Twisted chiral, and W tilde of phi I tilde, a holomorphic function, then this term namely theta bar minus d theta plus, then this is invariant delta invariant, and this is called twisted F term. Show you some example. Example, say, including only a chiral superfield. In a theory with only chiral superfield, you cannot have this twisted chiral, a twisted F term. So you have only two kinds of terms, this or that. This is a bosonic and scalar chiral superfield. So it can be written as complex boson, complex scalar, bosonic scalar, and these are actually feasible from Dirac fermion. And another thing, well, maybe I shouldn't say Dirac yet, complex undercommuting fields, and again here is a complex commuting field. Now let's write down this action. This phi bar is this complex conjugate of phi, and then as before, let's expand it and then take out this theta plus theta bar plus theta bar minus term. And this is a bit lengthy, so let me just give you the answer. Oh, sorry. This is this. And this is the answer. this is the answer. So you just do this theory expansion and take the product with its complex conjugate and then take out this theta plus theta minus theta plus bar theta bar minus part. For example, this term, you can easily see where it's come from, where it comes from. This times its conjugate will give us this term. And other terms will also come from appropriate products. So you see that already it has right kinetic term for the phi, and the ordinary Dirac operator, ordinary kinetic term for the Dirac fermion. But F doesn't have a kinetic term, no derivative. There's no derivative for F. Okay, so if it is just this, then this is, F is again an auxiliary field. Let's next consider this F term, where W of phi is some holomorphic function. Of phi. Say, polynomial. And if you just perform this integral, then what you expand it and take out the theta plus theta minus part, then what you get is, just as we have done for the quantum mechanics case, you get this minus this. Okay. So if you consider this total integral, say this plus d2 theta w phi plus its complex conjugate. So this is not real, so it's better to add this complex conjugate part. Then what you get is an action like this. So if this is the total action, indeed this F is quadratic, no derivative, no kinetic term, so it's an auxiliary field. So you just integrate out or eliminate by equation notion that will set F to be minus W prime phi bar. Okay, so you end up with action will be, it's just you eliminate it, then you get this part, this potential term for phi, and then you have, oh, why it is minus? Oh yes, this is minus. And this is the Lagrangian we have studied, or we have seen previous time. The action we have seen. Okay. So this is the action for this single variable Lambda Ginzburg model. And right, and variation, supersymmetry transformation of component fields can also be read in the similar way as in the quantum mechanics case. Yes. No, originally it was derived by Bess and Zunino in early 70s, and it is just found using, just found directly this kind of action. And later, I don't know who, later people developed a way to simplify this expression. So this is, yes, this is a lot simpler. And actually, it's not just simpler. It is very important. This form is very important. Any supersymmetric action you express in terms of chiral superfield must take this form, namely. Okay. Maybe this is something I should say. So let me write separately. Okay. Any supersymmetric name, 2,2 supersymmetric name, meaning delta invariant action can be written as dx d term some k of phi I phi bar I and d phi I d bar phi I bar and higher power plus d2 theta w of phi I holomorphic function and its complex conjugate. And this is very significant because here you must have a holomorphic function, and holomorphic function is severely constrained or very much different from ordinary function. So this tells us a lot about the dynamics, especially if you start with, say, classical action and, say, try to see what the quantum action is. This property is very important and powerful. Okay. Let me just finalize by saying this nonlinear sigma model can also be written in a simple form. So let M or X, maybe MG, be a Kähler manifold. then namely locally, the Kähler metric with respect to some complex coordinates can be written as for some function, yes. That's basic fact in Kähler geometry, and this K is called Kähler potential. Now, the action K of phi 1 to phi n. In the place of phi, you could plug this chiral superfield. This is the action for nonlinear sigma moments, which I have written. It was, again, a lengthy expression. It had this kind of kinetic term with metric Gij, and here you also had G with, say, Lebesgue-Vita connection entering in here. And we didn't have potential, but instead we had this four Fermi term proportional to this Riemann curvature. And that actually follows, just can be written simply in this way. Yes, this fact actually looks nice, but it turns out not so nice, because this is simply a local expression, and the fact that this is written in a simple way is good purely for this technical reason of this just simplifying the expression. But anyway, it does simplify, and yeah, you can really just write this action in just one line rather than three or four lines. Maybe it's a good point to break, and next I will perhaps speak about the system with both chiral and twisted chiral superfield, some kind action, nonlinear sigma model like this, and this will naturally connect to this generalized Kähler geometry. Okay, let's say meet at 3:20.